Hare, Hare, Nama Krishna, Yadavaya Namaha. Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Namaha. Yadavaya Madhavaya. Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Namaha. Gopala Vindaram Shri Madhusudan Giridhare Gopinath Madana Mohan Giridhare Gopinath Madana Mohan Sri Chaitanya Nityananda Siddhvaita Sita Hari Guru Vaishnava Bhagavad Gita Hare Guru Vaishnava Bhagavad Gita Shri Rup Shri Sanatan Mathura Guna Shri Diva Gopala Bhatta Dasa Raghunath Shri Diva Gopala Bhatta Dasa Raghunath Hey Chai Gosai Kore Chai Navanda Yau hite vignanas abhistapuran Yau hite vignanas abhistapuran Echai gosai Yarmitarudas Echai Gosai Yarmitarudas Tansavarup Padureno Mora Panchagras Tansavarup Padureno Mora Panchagras Tansavarup Padureno Mora Panchagras Tandara charana seve bhakta sanivas Janame janame hoy eya bilash Janame janame hoy abhilash Echai gosai jabbe brajai koiro vas Echai gosai jabbe brajai koiro Radha Krishna Nichalila Korela Prakash Radha Krishna Nitya Leela Koreela Prakash. Anande Bolo Hare Vajabrindavan. Shri Guru Vaishnava Pade Majahi Amman. Shri Guru Vaishnava Pade Majahi Amman. Shri Guru Vaishnava Pade Majahi Amman. Shri Guru Vaishnava Padma Kadma Koriyash. Shri Guru Vaishnava Padma Padma Koriyash. Namo Sankirtan Kohe Naro Tamodas. Namo Sankirtan Kohe Naro Tamodas. Nama Sankirtan Kohe Narottama Das. Hare Haraya Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Ye Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Namaha. Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Namaha. Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Jaya Srivastakur, Jaya Srivastakur, Srivastakur, Jaya Srivastakur. Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa. Abhaya Chananada Bhaktivananda Goswami. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnavrind Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya. Prabhu Nityananda. Shirvaita Garadha Shiva Siddhi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Shishi. Radha Krishna Gopika Patnalath Shaya Mukunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavadam Ki Jai Maturadam Ki Jai Jagannatha Swami Ki Jai Yamunamai Ki Jai Srimati Lasi Devi Ki Jai Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bol. All glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya, Bhutale, Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namane, Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Gauravani, Pacharni, Nivashesha, Shunyavadi, Paschacha, Deja, Tarni, so. Om Gana Timiranda Shah Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur and Meditam Yena Tasmai Shigurve Namaha. So, today we are commemorating the glorious appearance day of Srivas Thakur. We'll have a little slideshow, but mostly I'm going to be speaking. So, of course, Srivas Thakur is a member of what? The Panchatattva. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sridvaita Gadadha Srivasiti Gaur Bhaktivinoda. So tattva means something that is eternal, an eternal category, an eternal type of entity, an ontological position, fancy word for all of you. And so there are three tattvas in the Panchatattva. Pancha means five. One tattva is Vishnu tattva. The other tattva is Jiva tattva. And the third tattva is Shakti tattva. These are the three tattvas. Although there's five persons, there's three tattvas. So, anyway, so Lord Chaitanya, he's Vishnu tattva. In other words, he's God. Advaita Acharya is God. Lord Nityananda is God. Advaita Acharya is Sadashiva. Lord Nityananda is Balaram. Balaram hoi lit natai. And Lord Chaitanya is Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani. But actually, Lord Chaitanya, Advaita Acharya, and Nityananda are all the same person anyway. In different moods simultaneously. So, Advaita Chuta Nadir Anatarubam Adyam Purana Purusham Navayovanam Cha. Okay, that's one tattva. And the other one is Shakti tattva. Shakti tattva means the energy of the Lord, specifically the Adi Shakti, Srimati Radha Rani, and her expansions, such as Lakshmi Devi, etc. And so that's Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. And then you have Jiva tattva. We are, at least most of the people in this room, except for the two on the altar, are jiva tattva. Because they're persons too. You may think it's strange I'm referring to the deities as persons, but they are persons. They're not impersonal. So, anyway, so we're our jiva tattva. Jiva tattva means marginal potency. But if a jiva tattva is a pure devotee, then a jiva tattva was glorious, and if a jiva tattva was a contaminated soul, he's not so glorious. So, the personality representing jiva tattva in the pancha tattva is Srivas Thakur, who is glorious because he's a pure devotee and incarnation of Narada Muni. Narada Muni appears at Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime. So when we're chanting this Panchatattva Maha Mantra, which should be chanted before you chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, because there's no offenses in chanting the Panchatattva Maha Mantra. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Srivasiti Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Then we're actually associating with these great personalities. We should remember this. When we're chanting the Lord's holy names, or chanting the names of Krishna's great devotees, then those great devotees are manifest, even though we don't see them. In one sense, you can say, prakriti, they're not manifest to our eyes, but their presence is still, prakriti, they're still there. So, just like you go to Vrindavan, and you cannot see Krishna, unless Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanena, but generally you don't see Krishna, but Krishna's there. You can feel his presence like that, but not with these mundane eyes. So that's the Panchatattva. And it's described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and you see this verse here, that of all the devotees of the Lord, Srivas Thakur is the foremost, at least in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. Of course, you may find that sort of superlative talk about many devotees. Because every devotee is the foremost, right? Sometimes you find, this is the best devotee. This is the best of the nine processes of devotional service. Or on the other hand, you might find about the offenses in chanting, this is the worst offense about different offenses. So anyway, so this is sometimes done to emphasize something. But Srivas Thakur is amongst the foremost devotees of the Lord. And Srivas Thakur, interestingly enough, even though he's Narada Muni. Narada Muni is what? Naishthika Brahmachari? He got married in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. And his wife's name was Balini, as you see here. And he was much older than Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, old enough to be Lord Chaitanya's father. And Malini, his wife, was old enough to be Lord Chaitanya's mother. And Malini took care of Lord Chaitanya right after he was born. She actually held Lord Chaitanya. Can you imagine holding Lord Chaitanya on your lap? That'd be pretty cool. You know, Lord Chaitanya on your lap. So, and we already talked about his identity. And, of course, he's an incarnation of Narada Muni, and his brother, Ram Pandit, is said to be an incarnation of Parvati Muni. Whoops. Went a little bit too far about his ontological position. And his wife is considered to be Ambika, who is Krishna's nurse. Krishna's path, the Gauradhanadesh Deepika. And then Narayani, his niece, was the mother of Vrindavan Das Thakur. Narayani's parents passed away at an early age, so she was living in the house of Srivas Thakur. And there's this interesting story. When she was 4 years old, Lord Chaitanya came in, and he said to Narayani, he gave her his Mahaprasadam, and he said to her, chant Hare Krishna. And she chanted Hare Krishna, and she fell on the ground in ecstasy and rolled on the ground. So whoever was dear to Srivas Thakur was actually dear to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this is actually a very important fact in devotional service, that if you want to become dear to Krishna, you become dear to Krishna's devotee. You know, we chant every morning, Yasha Prasada Bhagavad Prasada, Yasha Prasada Nagati Katopi. If you please Krishna's devotee, Krishna's please. And of course, Krishna's topmost devotee is Srimati Radharani. So therefore, those in Braj are always going around chanting, Radhe, 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 Radhe. Also, they say, Shami Lado, Lade. But anyway, Radhe, Radhe. And the other night I described, and those who were, let me make sure we're on the on my Facebook page, because we don't want to neglect anyone. Sometimes it doesn't, this internet thing doesn't work too well. Give me a second, because we got a lot of people watching us. Hopefully, yes, there are people watching us. Oh, that's me. So anyway, so the in Vrindavan people chant Radhe, 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 and in Mayapur they chant Hare Krishna. So you got to remember where you are, or else you get in trouble. So he was one of the main pillars of Lord Chaitanya's movement. In fact, that's where Lord Chaitanya's nocturnal kirtans were held. And sometimes the kirtans went on for 72 hours. It's also where the mridanga drum was broken when the Qazi ordered the mridanga drum to be broken. And if you go there today, you actually see a depiction of that pastime with a broken mridanga on the altar. Some of you who have been there have seen that. That's called Srivas Angan, which is actually a short distance away on the same road. The road now is called Bhakti Siddhanta Marg, or road. And it's just a short distance away from Advaita Bhavan, which is where Advaita Acharya lived, and of course the Yogapith, where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. So when Srivas Thakur was engaged in chanting, even if Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not there, it's described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Lord Chaitanya would actually appear in his presence. They couldn't see him, but you could feel the presence. And really that is a case whenever we chant about Lord Chaitanya, hear about Lord Chaitanya, those who are attuned to the vibration can actually feel the presence of Lord Chaitanya. Or Krishna's great devotees. I know when I chant or read about Srila Prabhupada's pastimes, I actually feel Prabhupada with me. Or remember the service to Prabhupada. Because the remembrance of a great devotee, the remembrance of the Supreme Lord, are none different than the Supreme Lord and his devotee, or his devotee. So this is a very important part of our devotional service. Like we chant Hare Krishna, Krishna's there. We think of Krishna, Krishna's there. We look at the deity, Krishna's there. we read the Bhagavatam, Krishna is there. So very, very important. So when Srivas Thakur saw Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on the altar, this is after Lord Chaitanya took initiation from Ishwarapuri, because before Lord Chaitanya took initiation from Ishwarapuri, he acted like, almost like a non-devotee, not quite, but he would challenge the devotees. But when Lord Chaitanya took initiation, showing us the importance of initiation, then Lord Chaitanya sat on the altar and he took worship from Srivas Thakur. He actually went to Srivas Thakur's house and said, look, the person you've been worshiping all along is here. It's me. And he sat on the altar, and for 21 hours, he was worshipped. Lord Chaitanya was worshipped by Srivas Thakur. And here you see the picture of the Lord Chaitanya, member of the Panchatattva in Sridhar Mayapur. I was there for the original installation of these deities. It was quite wonderful. One of my godbrothers, Sridhar Maharaj, this was actually a few days before he passed away from this world. He got the opportunity to debate Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. He was up there on the scaffolding, even though he was quite sick, and he was bathing them. And then right after that, he passed away from this world, and you know where he went, back to the spiritual world. And then also, here's a little picture of Lord Chaitanya sitting on the altar. It says a cot, but actually he was sitting on the altar. And he exhibited transcendental opulence, showing himself to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead and manifest, as you see here, the universal form. Let's see. Then other pastimes occur in Srivas Thakur's house. For example, once upon a time, and this is a story about blasphemy, there was a certain person named Gopal Chapala who is prohibited from entering Srivas Thakur's house during the kirtan because they had a sign there. I don't know if it was a sign, but they had someone there at the door who made sure that everybody was a pure devotee. Only pure devotees could go and hear the kirtan. Now you may say, why do we do public kirtans where there's many, not only no pure devotees, or very few pure devotees, but there's non-devotees, or people who are really against Krishna consciousness. Well, there's a difference in the kirtans that were being held in Lord Chaitanya's presence in Srivas Thakur's house from the kirtans that were being held publicly. Publicly, all they would do is chant Hare Krishna. That's it. Generally that, maybe a few other songs, Vaishnava songs. But privately, they would actually sing these Leela songs about Krishna's intimate Leela. Like you have different verses in the Govinda Leelamrita and other literatures like that. And these sort of songs are only meant to be heard by pure devotees who are free from anarthas, especially free from lust, anger, and greed. And this reminds me of a story of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's pastimes, where he wanted to publish the Govinda Leelamrita so that everyone could read it. So at that time, his father, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, was present. So he went to his father and said, Dad, can I publish the Govinda Leelamrita? And his father said, basically, no. Then he went back a second or a third time, and he begged, I have to publish this book. It's so wonderful. And his father eventually said, yes, you can publish it, but you can only print one copy. Imagine going to the printer and just printing one copy. How many copies do you want? Just one copy. And he said, that copy is only for you. So these were very intimate, exalted pastimes and exhibitions of the most intimate mood of Radharani's feelings of separation from Sri Krishna. And these exhibitions and these pastimes and the singing of the pastimes, that was only reserved for those who are actually on the exalted high level of devotional service. And there's some pastimes that exhibit this. Once upon a time, there was some kirtan going on, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, there's something wrong. I'm not experiencing any ecstasy. This was in Srivas Thakur's house. There must be someone here who is not qualified. Because if there is someone who is, like, particularly envious or not qualified, and they're there, it sort of zaps the spiritual energy from the devotees. Of course, not that the heart gets zapped or lose spiritual energy, but it's something in the atmosphere that someone can experience. And Lord Chaitanya didn't want to exhibit his symptoms of ecstasy in front of everybody, especially those who weren't qualified. So what happened is they looked around, and finally they found Srivas Thakur's mother-in-law hiding behind a curtain. And they just chucked her out the door. There's nothing against mothers-in-law. It's not a sexist thing or chauvinistic thing, because there were ladies present in the kirtan too. You know, Sachibhata was present, and Malini, Srivas Thakur's wife, was present, and there were other old ladies present. It's not a bias against old ladies either. But she particularly was not qualified. And another time, Lord Chaitanya said, I'm not feeling any ecstasy, because Srivas Thakur had invited a Brahmin who lived only by drinking milk. Srivas Thakur thought, oh, that's really pious. He must be ready to hear the kirtan. And he let him in. And Lord Chaitanya said, I'm not experiencing any ecstasy. And they discover that Brahmin. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you know, if you think that simply by just living by drinking milk, that's pious. Ooh, that's really unpious. No, this is all right. I got it. Got to have a mechanical aptitude here. So you think that that's pious, then, or devotional, you're wrong. And this person surrendered to Lord Chaitanya, and later on he was allowed in the kirtan. So Lord Chaitanya was very, very strict about who he let in. Even sometimes he kicked out devotees who had bad association. Like, there was one devotee of Lord Chaitanya, Mukundadat, and he was associating with Mayavadis. Mayavadis are those who think that I'm God, you're God, we're all God, everything is one. There's different varieties of Mayavadis. Or basically that God's personality, form, individuality is illusion. That's what a Mayavadi is. And so he was a very liberal. Mukundadat was very liberal, and he was associating with these people, and Lord Chaitanya wouldn't let him in. And he was very disappointed. And then it was inquired from Lord Chaitanya, when are you going to let Mukundadat in? And Lord Chaitanya said, after many, many births. Many, many births, I'm going to let him in. And when? Like 1,000 births. Actually, after 1,000 births, this microphone will work. This is the wrong stand, actually. Wait, no. There's something called leverage here. See? If you put the microphone further out, more weight is in this direction, so it doesn't do that. I hope. So, I'm praying. So, So then Mukundadat became very happy, because he understood that sooner or later he would get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he started dancing. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appreciated his patience and determination, like the Upadeshamrita states, what utsaha nisya dharyat tatat karma pavartanat. And Lord Chaitanya let him in, and they lived happily ever after. But in the case we're going to discuss right now, they would not let this Gopal Chapala in. And he became extremely angry. And what he did, in order to actually frame Srivas Thakur, he placed, as described here, he placed all the paraphernalia for worshipping goddess Durga outside of Srivas Thakur's door. And, shoo, you'll see some of the paraphernalia here. So you understand, those of you who are interested in worshipping goddess Durga, here's how you do it. So, Ishwar, tomorrow you should do this. No, you won't listen to your guru. Oh, my God. So, anyway, he placed paraphernalia for worship, such as Oda, Pula, whatever that is, turmeric, vermilion, red sandalwood, and rice. And he placed a pot of wine besides all this. Wow. Let's see if there's wine there. I don't see the wine. Anyway, there was wine. So he placed the pot of wine, and then outside of Srivas Thakura's door to sort of frame him to make it seem like he was worshiping Durga instead of worshiping Krishna. So the next morning, Srivas Thakura gets up, and he looks outside, and he sees all the paraphernalia there. And being a very humble devotee, he doesn't try to defend himself. You know, most of us try to defend ourselves if we're accused of something, right? I didn't do it. But sometimes, you know, say, all right. And some devotees even put themselves in situations where they are criticized so they can become detached from this world. Like Lord Rishabhadev did that, performed the Jada Yoga, so people were making fun of him. And, of course, Shukadev Goswami, he was running around, you know, without any clothes, and people were making fun of him. Because a devotee is really not concerned with what people think of him. And, of course, this goes against standard Indian culture, where everyone's concerned, what are people saying about me? What do people think about me? But a devotee thinks, you know, who cares? Unless it's part of preaching. Otherwise, he doesn't care. That's why a sannyasi, generally, they'll walk around in a lungi, which is like a long gamsha, and during chaturmasya, they won't shave or cut their nails or anything like that. But for preaching, we do care. For preaching, we do have people iron our clothes. But if we weren't preaching, it wouldn't be that important. We just have clean clothes with wrinkles in them. And it wouldn't make a difference to anybody. So anyway, so Srivas Thakur wasn't concerned with his reputation. And he said, look, everybody knows, everybody can see, I'm worshiping Durga. And nobody took it seriously. And then eventually they called for a sweeper. And they understood it was a mischievous person who had done that. So they called for the sweeper. The sweeper swept up all the paraphernalia. However, this Gopal Chapla had a problem. After 3 days, as you see here, he developed leprosy, and blood oozed from the sores of his body. I don't know if any of you have seen people with leprosy, but it's pretty bad. I've been in Jagannath Puri, and you actually see people with leprosy there around the temple who are begging. Nowadays, of course, they have antibiotics and other cures for leprosy. They did away with colonies, leper colonies, a long time ago, but some people still have the remnants of the disease. And so it's quite a horrible disease with insects biting you and your sores in your body. And it's unbearable pain. Unbearable pain. And then, you know, different parts of your body just melt, like your nose and your fingers. And he was feeling great distress. And here's a picture of him that I took several years ago. And he approached Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and begged for Lord Chaitanya's mercy. He said, look, I'm your uncle in the village relationship. You're an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You should save me. Give me your mercy. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, instead of giving him his mercy, he actually cursed and be bitten by the same germs for millions and millions of years or lifetimes because he has offended Srivas Thakura. And they're showing us the great danger in offending a devotee. Nowadays, of course, you go on the internet and people are very enthusiastic to commit offenses. You know, if they have some disagreement with someone, they do what we call an ad hominem attack. Ad hominem means like a personal attack. I mean, people are entitled. I mean, just give an example. There's some people who are anti-vaxxers. Now, we have no problem with someone who's an anti-vaxxer. That's their prerogative. And I'm not going to personally criticize them. They've made their choices up in life. But if they criticize a Vaishnava who takes the vaccine, his choice too, that's the offense. So people turn differences of opinion, Mataji, so people turn differences of opinion, people turn differences of opinion to actually personal attacks, isn't it? That's really bad. We have no problem with differences of opinion. You may believe me. You may be a Mayavadi. You may be this. That's your problem if you're a rascal. So, but we don't want to engage in a personal attack. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to this rascal, Gopal Chopalit. You made it seem that Srivas Thakur is worshipping the goddess Bhavani, and you've committed a great offense. You fall down to hellish life for many, many births, bitten by the same worms for many, many births. And later on, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after he took sannyas, and he returned to this place called Kulia. Kulia is a place where people get forgiven for offenses. It's a special place in Mayapur. And so later on, Lord Chaitanya was approached by this personality, Gopal Chapal, again. And Lord Chaitanya said, if you approach Srivas Thakur, the person you offended, then you could be forgiven. And so he approached Srivas Thakur, begged for forgiveness, and he was forgiven, and he became cured of leprosy. So this is the point that we have to be very careful when we commit offense, and careful of committing offenses, not careful when we commit offenses, careful of committing offenses to great Vaishnavas. We can commit offenses by our mind, our body, or our words. And of course, we should avoid in the mind, because the mind will, when we have some thoughts, the mind will ultimately manifest action or words. So sometimes if something pops into the mind, some critical thought pops into the mind, we should cut it off like that before we start meditating on it or thinking about it further. So anyway, so here we see the Brahmin Gopal Chapa went to Srivas Thakur's house, Srivas Thakur, and took shelter at lotus feet, and by Srivas Thakur's mercy, he was liberated. And there's another interesting story that occurred in Srivas Thakur's house, where Srivas Thakur's son, Srivas Thakur's son died in the middle of a kirtan. And you might think that that would disturb the kirtan if someone died in the middle of the kirtan. So what happened is that Srivas Thakur heard his wife crying and some of the other ladies crying. And he said, what's the problem? You know, whispered to them during the kirtan. And they said, your son has died. And Srivas Thakur said, basically, don't disturb Lord Chaitanya's kirtan. You know, if you disturb Lord Chaitanya's kirtan, I'll give you something really to cry about. And he, some of the stories say that he threatened to kill himself or chastise his wife or whatever he was threatening to do. And so they didn't continue crying, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu finished the kirtan. And when he finished the kirtan, he said, basically, something has happened in this house. What has happened? And Srivas Thakur said, not very much, you know. Someone has passed away, you know, my son has passed away. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, why didn't you tell me about it? And Srivas Thakur said, I didn't want to disturb the flow of your kirtan. That would have been far worse. Oh, what's that? The camera goes to the deities. It's more Krishna conscious than I am. The very Krishna conscious cameras. You know, we try to put it on me, and it says we're not interested in watching this jiva soul. You know, I want to see Krishna. So, it has a life of its own. So anyway, so there is kirtan, and then Lord Chaitanya said, "Where is this person? You know, your son that passed away." They went to the back room. He was there. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to that place and went to the body of the boy who had passed away and said, my dear boy, why are you leaving the house of Srivas Thakur? Here's a picture of the boy. And the boy actually spoke philosophy. He said, you know, basically many lives have I had and now this is life. I've died during your kirtan. So it's back to home, back to God. I'm paraphrasing the whole thing. This is actually very similar to the story of Chitraketu, if you think about it. Because Narada Muni was also present during that story, too. Chitraketu, just to tell the story really briefly, had quite a few wives, mentioned 10 million. Don't try that at home. That's about the population of North Carolina, isn't it? Yeah. So it might be hyperbole. Anyway, so he had a lot of wives. And so basically, he couldn't have a kid even with all those wives. And eventually, he got a blessing to have a kid. And the kid would be called Harshashoka. Harshashoka means like happiness and distress. He had the kid. kid was poisoned by the other wives who weren't his mother. And then he was crying like anything. And Narada Muni came, along with Parvart Muni. And they came to the child and touched the child. And the child came back to life and actually spoke some philosophy, too. So you find very very much similar stories in Chitraketu's pastimes with Narada Muni as you do in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with Srivastava in the Srivastava's house. So here we see that after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had this son of Srivastava speak philosophy, he guaranteed or gave Srivastava the guarantee, "You have lost one son, but Nityananda Prabhu and I are your eternal sons, and we shall never be able to give up your company." And this is really what happened. In fact, Lord Nityananda, I don't know if I should tell this story, but really had a son-like relationship with not only Srivastava, but Srivastava's wife. And even though he was old, an adult, he would actually sometimes sit on Srivastava's wife's lap and be fed. You know, so that is unusual. So, in other words, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda directly became Srivastava's sons. So, once upon a time, this is actually an interesting story that very few devotees have heard. In ecstasy, Lord Chaitanya asked Srivastava to deliver his flute, but Srivastava replied, "Your flute has been stolen away by the gopis." Thus Srivastava described the transcendental mellows of the pastimes of Sri Vrindavan Dham. In the morning, the Lord embraced Srivastava and satisfied him. Amazing story. So I was asked the question last night during my class that Srivastava is Narada Muni, and Narada Muni is generally worshiping the Lord in the Narayan aspect, not in Braj aspect. However, we see in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita that Srivastava appears in various levels of the Lord's manifestations, pastimes, and abodes. So he's not just, I'm not Srivastava, I'm sorry, Narada Muni. So he's not just in the Narayan pastimes or Narayan activities of the Lord, but he also goes to Goloka Vrindavan, also goes to Mathura, also goes to Dwarka. And in Mathura, of course, you see him talking to Kamsa. And Dwarka, you find him going around to the different houses of Krishna to see what Krishna is doing. In each one of his 16,108 houses, Krishna was quite a polygamist. And in Vrindavan, you see Narada Muni appearing as a female, as Nardi, a gopi, and then also residing there in Narada Kund. That's where his ashram is, where he gave instructions to Kayadu, who is Palad Maharaj's mother. So you see that he's present in all these different levels of Krishna's abode. So anyway, so that's why he was able to interact with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the intimate pastimes of flute playing. So then there's the interesting pastime. There's a few more pastimes, what's called the Nrisinga Leela. When Srivastava was reciting the Vishnu Sahasranama, that means the thousand names of Lord Vishnu, and the Lord became so much absorbed in thought that he actually manifested the bhav, or the mood, of his manifestation as Lord Nrisingadev. Not only that, he started to run around Sridhar Mayapur terrorizing everybody. And people were scared. And then Lord Chaitanya thought, well, I'm supposed to be compassionate in this particular avatar. And he actually felt remorseful. He said, you know, anybody who causes pain to others is actually culpable. So he was very remorseful, and he gave up that mood of Lord Nrisingadev and came back to his normal mood as Patita Pavana, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Another story about Srivastava is the story of Devananda Pandit. And I don't have a picture of this, but anyway, say Devananda Pandit was a great pundit who would recite the Bhagavatam regularly. And Srivas Thakur happened to wander into his Bhagavatam class one day. And Srivas Thakur, hearing the recitation of the Bhagavatam, felt so much ecstasy, he started rolling on the ground and with great pleasure. And Srivas and Devananda Pandit's disciples decided to just throw him out the door. Of course, this is an offense because he was actually experiencing ecstasy. If someone is not experiencing ecstasy and just making a show, then that's what you should do. Just throw them out the door. Like, there's even one story where Prabhupada was asked, you know, there's one devotee who just like rolling on the ground, probably just said, throw him out. So, in this particular case, it was a great offense. So, Devananda Pandit lost his ability, if he ever had an ability, to understand the Bhagavatam in spite of being a regular teacher of the Bhagavatam. So one day Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was walking by Devananda Pandit's Bhagavatam class, so-called Bhagavatam class, and he actually said out loud, this Devananda Pandit will never understand the Bhagavatam. It's useless. And Devananda Pandit didn't say anything. Later on, Devananda Pandit rendered service to another devotee named Vrakeshwara Pandit, who was dancing in ecstasy. You know, he would dance for 72 hours at a stretch. And he protected Vrakeshwara Pandit by helping to form a circle around Vrakeshwara Pandit, who was dancing in ecstasy. And by doing that service, he got the instruction from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to apologize to Srivas Thakur. Because if you commit offense against a particular Vaishnava, it's not that you can mitigate that offense by just going to someone else or going to your guru. Say, Gurudev, please forgive me for all the offenses I committed against all the other Vaishnavas on the internet. No, that doesn't work. You have to personally go to those particular individuals or at least send them an email or a text message or WhatsApp and apologize to them. That's the only way to deal with it. You can't just like do a general apologies. In case I offended anyone, I apologize to everyone. That's not even an apology. I mean, sometimes even you go to an individual and say, in case I offended you, please accept my apologies. You have to be very specific when you render an apology. You have to say, when I said this, I understand it was an offense. Please forgive me. And you touch their feet, because sometimes it's described that the Vaishnava may say, okay, I forgive you, but you haven't really humbled yourself before the Vaishnava. So the description is given in a sort of a metaphorical way that sometimes the dust of the feet of the Vaishnava will not forgive you, even though the Vaishnava has forgiven you. So that means, what does that mean exactly? To humble yourself before the Vaishnava, not just like crocodile tears. Oh, I'm so sorry. I said you were a rascal. I posted a picture of you on the internet. It looks real funny. Just like today, we saw an interesting picture of me and a bunch of other devotees on the internet. And it's not just that. You really have to apologize directly to the person and humble yourself. Please give me some rectification. So, you know, actually forgiveness is more than asking for forgiveness. You have to do something about it. Rectify yourself. And even ask the person, what can I do to rectify myself? I mean, that's real forgiveness. Otherwise, it's just like word jugglery. And it's described at Rath Yatra that he would come every year with the residents of Navadvip to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And here in this particular picture, it says, there's an interesting instance. Srivas Thakur was standing in front of the king. Who wanted to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dance. And so Srivas Thakur was standing in front of the king, and the king's assistant Harichandra touched Srivas with his hand and requested him to step aside, and Srivas Thakur got pretty angry when that happened, and the king quieted down Harichandra, his assistant, and he said, you know, this is Srivas Thakur. So Srivas Thakur was respected even by the king. This is great. King Prajavaruja said to his assistant, you are very fortunate, for you have been graced by the touch of Srivas Thakur. I am not so fortunate. You should feel obliged to him. So anyway, so these are some of the stories and pastimes and understanding of who Srivast Thakur is. He's a member of the Panchatattva, and we talked about his ontological position in the beginning. So today we beg for his mercy in being able to participate in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And you may say, how can we participate in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Because that was 500 years ago, or more than 500 years ago. But the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu going on even right now, and this Sankirtan movement started by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, is a manifestation, a continuation of those pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Prabhupada even commented sometimes how when the devotees were having kirtan, that Narada Muni was watching the kirtan. And of course, one time, devotees asked Prabhupada, what was Narada Muni doing? And Prabhupada replied, he was laughing to see all the malechas dancing and chatting. Be like, because the Kali Yuga is different than any other yuga, basically. And so we're pretty fallen. Manda samanda matayo manda bhagya padrata. It's as if, I don't want to use this, I'll use this explanation, this example. As if we went to the North Carolina Zoo and saw all the animals dancing and chanting. We would be laughing but appreciating that at the same time. So, be that as it may, so any questions or comments? Mother Irmala.
You know, you've just sort of heard through the grapevine, so-and-so's angry with you, and you don't have a clue as to what you did to offend them, then it's impossible to go to them and say, because I did such and such, or because I said such and such.
No, right? I would go to them and say, what did I do? Please explain to me. I mean, if there's a, at least before they leave their bodies, it's a good idea. You know, or ask someone else, you know, an intermediary. If you can't go to them directly, I would ask one of their friends, could you please ask so-and-so, Prabhu, Prabhi, you know, whatever, what I did to offend them.
And then there's also a circumstance where, you know, you've apologized to someone, you've asked them what you can do to rectify, you've done what they asked you to do, and they're still not satisfied. You know, you've apologized genuinely,
Well, if you apologize genuinely and you're ready to make rectification,
and you actually do make the rectification,
and you do make rectification and they're still not satisfied, then it reflects on them, not on you at that point. Because a Vaishnava forgives. And a Vaishnava is praying for the benefit of others. I mean, just like today we saw something that was interesting, actually last night, on the internet about us. Well, me. Not us, because of some of my godbrothers and me. I was in good company in this particular picture. And my first response was to think, oh, this is really funny. You know, that's just how I think. But my second response was that that's not appropriate either. I mean, this person who's done such a thing is actually suffering from anger. You know, he's actually suffering. So I began to pray for the person. You know, how can I help the person? And, you know, rather than reply, because naturally our tendency or natural response is to just make another post on the internet and say, this is nonsense, this is an offense. But then it just causes the compounding of offenses when you do that. What I've discovered is whenever you post something on the internet in defense of yourself, it makes it worse.
I wanted to ask that too, that sometimes that happens when someone offends someone else.
Yeah.
Like sometimes, you know, A will be offensive to B. But if you go and defend B, it also starts
then,
just
then they'll
compounding.
Offend more. They'll offend you in addition to B and C and D.
It just increases and increases and increases.
Yeah, so basically you avoid looking at it. You avoid looking at it. And the tact I take is to pray for the person and let them realize that they're projecting their own needs and on someone else, you know, and they're very frustrated. You know, why would someone be angry? I mean, if someone disagrees with me, why should I get angry with them? You know, there's no reason. Like we're talking about the vaxxers or anti-vaxxers in class. If someone's an anti-vaxxer, why should I be angry with them? If someone doesn't believe in God, that's his problem. You know, why should I be angry with him? So because I should still, as Krishna says in the Ishopanishad, yastu sarvani bhutani atmanai vanupashati sarvabhuteshu chatmanam tatogna vigagupshate, that a devotee should not hate anyone because we see everyone as part and parcel of Krishna. And we can feel compassion for someone who is misled or has the wrong attitude. Like Haridas Thakur, he wasn't hateful towards the people who were beating him. Jesus Christ wasn't hateful towards the people who were putting him on the cross. They were praying, both of them were praying for the benefit of the people who were attempting to hurt them or torture them. So that's why I come to the conclusion, you know, because initially I do laugh at these things. But then I think, I mean, it may be a humorous thing. I don't mind when people make fun of me. It's kind of nice when they have pictures of great Vaishnavas next to me. Because they're saying, wow, I must be in good association in the Hare Krishna movement. But ultimately, the proper attitude for me to have is to feel compassion for those people. Because they're suffering. I don't have to suffer. I can choose to suffer or not to suffer, depending upon my response to it. Oh, you know, if I'm thinking so much about my reputation, I may suffer. But that's my attachment that's causing me to suffer, not them. Like, even Buddha said, you know, it's the attachment that causes suffering in this world. It's not another person that causes suffering. It's not my body. Ultimately, it's not the threefold miseries that causes suffering. It's the attachment. Give up the attachment. I mean, we're not Buddhists. But still, it's a fact. If you could give up the attachment, there's no more suffering. But our method of giving up the attachment in Krishna consciousness is to become attached to something superior. I was describing this the other night in class, that if we actually are absorbed in our spiritual identity, of course, I'm not saying that everyone should realize you're a gopi or coward boy or whatever, but we're absorbed in our identity as servants of a servant of a servant of a servant to the Lord, and just thinking of that, then, you know, sticks and bones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. You know, obviously, we don't want to get hit with sticks and stones. But still, you know, it's just, I should just think, I'm a servant of Prabhupada, or I'm a servant of my spiritual master. You know, people don't like me, they make fun of me on the internet. It's not going to cause me suffering because, you know, that's the way life is. Lord Rishabhadev voluntarily embraced it. And, you know, maybe Krishna's arranged that so to help me become compassionate to people who are attacking me. I mean, they're not attacking me physically. I mean, obviously, if someone attacks you physically, you defend yourself because your body belongs to Krishna. Like if someone comes up with a knife, it's not that I say, thank you for making me detached. You know, if I have the ability to fight off the knife attack, I'll do it. Or if I have a gun or something like that to protect myself or protect, I'll do it. But otherwise, you know, in verbal attacks, what could you do? It just makes it worse. Every time I try to defend myself, it just makes it worse. I didn't do it. Oh, the lady doth protest too much. Okay, any other questions? Yes. What happened after what? Mahaprabhu's disappearance?
And did he have any disciplic
succession? I don't have any information about Sri Bhas Thakur's disappearance. Does anyone know?
Did he have any disciplic succession?
Specific what?
Like, he had any disciplic succession?
Disciplic succession? I don't have that information. I mean, I'm sure he had so many followers, whether he initiated, I don't have any information that he initiated anybody at that point. Do you? No, I don't have that information. But we're his followers, we're in his disciplic succession. even though we're not initiated by him. So, yeah, Nityananda, of course, you know, his wife was initiating, he was initiating, and all that, but Shivas Thakur, I don't have any information about that. What? Yeah.
We always hear about how Advaita Acharya called the Lord, but it was also said when I was researching that it was also the kirtan of Shivas Thakur that attracted Lord Chaitanya, and that how the devotee, you know, how Krishna reciprocates with the love of the devotee. So it just seems that he had a different role to play.
I mean, he wasn't an Acharya. I mean, right. He was an Acharya in the sense of example.
Exactly.
But not... It doesn't appear that he was initiating anybody, from at least the history I have. Like I said, there's certain aspects of the history I may not be aware of, but the history that I've read so far, there's no indication of it. Okay, we want to thank you all for coming to this Sunday, and for those who are online, Sunday virtual feast. There will be virtual prasadam for all of you. Right? So thank you very much. And it's nice weather. Enjoy yourself in New Goloka. And let's see, what other festivals do we have coming up? Ram Navami's on what day? It's a Wednesday, but we'll also celebrate on the Sunday afterwards, right? Sunday. The main celebration will be on the Sunday afterwards, although we'll also celebrate on the Wednesday. That's Wednesday the what? 21st of April. And Nrisimha Chaturdasi on what day? That's in May? 25th. It's late this year. Nrisimha Chaturdasi, any other festivals coming up? And Nrisimha Chaturdasi, Ram Navami, 9 and 11, yeah. Okay, on that happy note, we'd like to welcome Tulsi Devi Dasi to New Goloka. There's prasadam in the hall, and you can eat in the hall or outside. It's very nice weather today, and it's spring. There's great hopefulness in spring. The flowers are blooming. Okay, all glorious, there's divine grace. Shilaprabhupada.